What is up, everybody? This is Joshua with another great installment of the Final X Legends podcast. I have another billion-dollar writer, a Miss Marcy right here, who's bringing us extraordinary tales. Miss Marcy, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you, Joshua. How are you?
I'm actually doing really good. It's a beautiful day out here in sunny Isle Beach, Florida. I'm enjoying some beautiful sunny weather. Like, it's literally a paradise every day. Like, I actually have been, like, sending pictures to people because I'm like, it's just kind of ridiculous of what I see every day. This is literally, you know, there ain't no snow out here. It's nothing but bright sunshine. How's the weather where you're at?
The weather where I am in Devon in England is terrible at the moment. Pouring with rain, floods everywhere, and not nice at all.
Oh, that sucks. But, you know, there's still beauty in the rain and the worst of Mother Nature. So
definitely.
But I wanted to know a little bit more about your creative works. Can you tell us about, you know, what it is that you're providing? Any are you providing anything more than just, you know, wonderful literature? Are you providing any artwork or music, or is just, you know, a wonderful book and whatnot that you have to provide to us all today?
No, it's mainly, I've written two books, so it's mainly writing my books that I do at the moment. Mm-hmm. I've launched a website recently, so I'm learning how to write blogs. My husband and I like walking quite a lot, so I've done some blogs about local walks, which are really lovely with photos in. I'm also a keen gardener, so I write about the garden and various plants and flowers and that sort of thing. I'm not really musical. I do like drawing. I'm no artist really, but I do enjoy drawing.
That's good.
So, yeah, that's it.
I like that. You know, and that's something that I believe, you know, people should hear. You know, just because you're not the best at something, if you like doing it, do it. You know, I suck at singing, and I'm really good at dancing certain styles, but I'm a big fan of, like, you know, I'm a geek and I watch anime a lot, and I watch a lot of anime intros and whatnot, and I love to dance to them in my own, you know, like, to put it in a way, it's like how a woman would dance to, like, Britney Spears back in the day or something like that, or like some Shakira or whatnot, how you just have fun and you just let loose. Like, you know, I'm not good at dancing all anime and extravagant like, but I still do it because it's fun. And I feel like that, you know, on that note, I love that you said that, hey, I do love to draw. I ain't good at it, but I love doing it, so I'm gonna do it. And that's a really cool trait. Like, I respect that. That actually just gave me strength on stuff that I'm not good at, but I like doing.
That's right. I think it's important to just do what you enjoy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be the best. You just have to enjoy doing it.
Yep. You are absolutely right. And you know, and then you know what comes into play at that part, practice making perfect. And then eventually you're going to do something so long and so repetitively and you enjoy doing it to where you don't even realize how good you're getting at it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I'm with you on the dancing because I'm no good at it either, but I do like to go and have a dance occasionally.
I believe everybody should dance. Everybody should dance. It don't matter what it is, like, just get up and dance, have fun. You know, it's one of the great gifts of this experience that we get here on life, you know, like that energy that comes with dancing. So, but I want to go ahead and ask you at this time, so these books that you've written, what are they about?
Well, I've written two books, and they're both based in Devon, which is where I live. In Victorian times, it's a period that's always interested me. I first got interested, really, when I started researching my mum's family history. My mum was adopted as a toddler, and she didn't know much about her ancestors, so I started looking into it all. And in visiting the local record office and looking at census returns and parish registers and gravestones in the churchyard, I started to piece together our own family tree. But in doing that, I came across other families in doing that, and it was just interesting because you can read so much into it. You've only got dates of burials and births and marriages and all that, but you could sort of read stories into it. And I remember thinking that at times this would make a good story. So once I sort of finished doing, well, you never finish doing a family tree, it goes on and on, but I took clips, I suppose, from that and incorporated them into my books. So they're not about real people, they are purely works of legend, of fiction, but nevertheless there are grains of truth in them. The first book is called The Mazard Tree. It talks about the struggles of a poor family called the Carter family, and the father dies from consumption, leaving his wife with seven mouths to feed. And his eldest daughter Annie steals vegetables from the manor house garden, knowing that she could be jailed or transported if she's caught. She didn't realise, but she's being watched by the Lord's son from a bedroom window.
Mm-mm.
And he catches her, but he doesn't report her. They become friends.
Oh.
It leads to a romance, which can go nowhere because of their different stations in life.
No, that actually reminds me of my previous relationship. Doesn't that suck? Kind of, sort of, not really. But yeah, I love it. I really want to see they. It was kind of crazy. I was like watching this unfold in my head, and then he's like, oh, she was getting watched from the window. Oh, she's in trouble. And then all of a sudden, you know, you say he doesn't tell on her, and it develops into like a bit of like forbidden romance, which is always, you know, hot and steamy if, you know, done correctly, which I believe that you do. And I love that you've built this world in this time period. And it's a beautiful time period. And I love that it tethers to like your history and your love for, you know, culture and being able to represent another slice of humanity in, you know, just a nice and comforting way. Have you ever considered writing under a pseudonym, or are you out there putting out your real name? Like, this is something that I wanted to start asking a lot of, you know, authors and writers when it comes to publishing and whatnot.
Well, actually, I published the first book, The Magic Tree, just as an ebook on Amazon under the name of Josephine James.
Hmm.
This is actually my middle name, and they were my mum's name as well. I'd written the book over several years when I was working full time, and I was busy because I had three sons. And my eldest son, Stuart, puts books on Amazon about bass guitar, and he persuaded me to put it on Amazon, but I was a bit shy about it, really, a bit nervous, and I thought it'd be quite cool to write under a pseudonym. So it was released under that name. Well, then time went on and I became a bit more confident. I had a few nice reviews. And I thought, well, when I wanted to release it as a paperback, I decided I'd like it in my own name of Marcia Clayton. So that's when I changed the covers and changed it to my name. I'm glad now it's in my name because it's quite nice to look on the bookshelf and see the book with my name on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's a rewarding feeling, you know. I feel that way. You know, regardless if it is a pseudonym or my name, you know, even if it's a name that I tether and call myself, you know, just seeing your name on the bookshelf, you know, on a book, you know, is, you know, a wonderful thing. Now, when you've been working on this book for some time now, like, do you plan on it being like his own standalone book? Is it going to be like a trilogy? Is it going to be sequels to this? Like, you know, what is your future plans for this book?
Yes, I think at the moment it's going to be a trilogy. I've written and released the second book, which is called The Angel Maker.
I like that.
It carries on. Sorry.
No, I said I really like that. The Angel Maker. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just I got very fascinated with that name. But please continue.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased with that title. That one seems to have intrigued several people.
Hmm.
The Angel Maker follows on from The Magic Tree, but it introduces new characters and it has a bit more of a sinister twist than the first one, to be honest. I'm writing the third book, which will make it a trilogy, and I'm not quite sure yet whether I'll leave it there or whether I will continue with more books. But I'm certainly enjoying writing the third book. I'm about halfway through at the moment.
You halfway through the third book?
Sorry?
You said you're halfway through the third book?
Through writing the third book, yes.
Oh, that's a good feeling. Oh man, you know what that means? That means you're coming up to the end of it all. You know that feeling you get when she finished. Well, I mean, you still got to edit and everything, but you know what I mean? That moment where you write the last word for the first time, before you even go back to edit and everything, that feeling of wow, this yeah, journey
always,
just
always a relief once you've written that last word, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just this weight off your shoulders, that this freshness, and you know what feels good is just to get those characters and bring them to life, you know. And to be able to just get that out is just a really, really, really cool thing. Speaking of characters, I want to ask, are there any like real people that you like base a lot of your characters on? Because, you know, being that you said you base this off of a lot of your own personal like histories and connections to your families and stuff like that, do you got any like friends or family or any celebrities that you've seen that you kind of base these characters off of?
Not present day ones, really. One family in the first book is based on some distant ancestors of mine and the story that I came across in research and family history. I've changed the names and it's like I say, it's only loosely based on it and it's my interpretation of what happened. So it could be way off being, but yes, I've got characters in my eye to think of them. I do think of people I've known over the years, mainly elderly people possibly, and when I'm describing a character, that's what's in my mind's eye.
That is really cool to be able to just envision every, you know, I haven't done that in a while. Lately, when I create, I always base it off of, you know, some crazy creation of my own. I haven't really, you know, gone out there and base it off of people, you know, that you know, even from, I haven't even thought about, you know, connecting it with, you know, people from different time periods and whatnot.
Well, because it's in Victorian times, I suppose I have to use names that are fitting for that period.
True.
So, you know, I have to do it from that point of view. But before absolutely. I start writing a book, I think about the characters and I make notes about each one, about hair color and eyes and what their personality is like, just so that I sort of know where the book's going to go with them.
You know, I'm not backtracking on what I just said. I do character outlines, like, you know, like you said, like, you know, hair color, eye color and whatnot. I used to, when I was a younger writer, would like take celebrities or people I know and be like, I could see this person acting as this person. But then what I noticed is that I would start basing the characters, you know, mannerisms or dialogue off of the celebrity than the actual character that I was like creating, whatnot. So I tend to just, you know, in a sense, in some non-blasphemous way, play God in the sense of like creating a whole new character, mashing up some new some different, you know, character traits and some backgrounds and some whole different family elements and whatnot, and just create somebody brand new. But being that you had to go with Victorian time, you don't have anything, you know, right here in this day-to-day world to go off of. So it makes complete sense that you did your research and whatnot, which I always find writers really interesting, because I'm pretty sure your search history was very funny in that time period when you was doing your research for this.
Yes, I enjoyed the research. I mean, I enjoyed researching my family tree, but also I had to look into all the different costumes and means of transport and the way they got their water, all sorts of things, because you've got to be so careful when writing historical books that you don't let them switch on a light or turn on the tap.
You're right.
You have to be careful.
You have to use the right slang. You have to use the right, you know, everything, right? And even the descriptions of the clothes, you can't describe certain things with newer words. I mean, you can here and there, but if you're describing like an older garment, it's best to describe it in the way it was described in that time period, excuse me. But yes,
exactly.
I want to ask you as well, but before we wrap this up, is there like any advice for everyone that's out there listening? Is there anything that you wish you would have known prior to writing, before getting into this, or anything that you could give to anyone out there that can help push them to achieving their dreams, whether they're a writer, musician, artist, entrepreneur, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, whatever it is that they're doing, do you have any advice that could really like push them in their creativity?
Well, I think it's really important to do thorough research. The main thing I think I would say is that although it's not easy, writing the book is just the first stage. When you try to publish it and market it, it's a whole different world, and there were so many things and still are that I don't know. So I wish I'd looked into that side of things far more before I started. But I'm an independent author and I'm learning as I go along, and I find other authors are really helpful. So I think my advice would be to check everything out before you start, to think what you want to do with your book. Do you want to publish it? Do you want to sell it? Or is it just for yourself? And then look into how you're going to achieve that.
Wow. Guys, we ain't heard it like this on here yet. We've heard tons of other wonderful advice and whatnot. We've heard people, you know, say, oh, just keep writing, or, you know, do what you love. But not once have we had someone say, hey, do your research and make sure that you're doing it correctly and doing it thoroughly, which is very important. Even if you're writing a fiction book, even if your story is about, you know, werewolves and vampires, don't say, unless you build it and do your research into like vampires having these kind of powers and stuff like that, don't just out of nowhere, you know, have all types of random stuff because you just wanted to think about it. There's nothing wrong with creativity, guys, but do your research so that way it flows and it transfers into the believability of what's going on to your readers, because you don't want to lose your readers in just willy-nilliness that you decided to write. So that's a beautiful thing and a wonderful gem that was just dropped here Real quick before we go, can you once again tell us where, tell us about your links, tell us your web pages, tell us where we can find you to go ahead and purchase a copy of your books?
Okay, well, my two books are called The Mazard Tree. I probably should say that mazards are a cherry which is local to my area. And the village I live in used to be covered with acres of mazard trees, which look absolutely beautiful with blossom in the spring. But anyway, the first book is called The Mazard Tree. The sequel is called The Angel Maker. They're both available as ebooks and paperbacks on Amazon. You can also find me on Twitter and on Facebook. And I also have a webpage, which if you wanted to visit that one, I've got a free store you can sign up to and join my mailing list. And then I will let you know as soon as my third book is available.
Guys, y'all heard it right here. You knew exactly where to find her. This has been an amazing installment of the Final X Legends podcast. This woman right here is going to go beyond a billion-dollar writer. I am personally going to pick up a copy of her books because I need something that's a little bit more. I've been in a lot of fiction. I've been reading a lot of, you know, a lot of things. I love the Darth Bane Star Wars trilogy. I reread that a million and one times. I've been watching Attack on Titan, Jujutsu Kaisen. A lot of things with a lot of raw firepower and emotion, and I need something that kind of chills out. So I would love to read your books and just adopt that calmness. Guys, like I always say, spend time with your family, have fun with your loved ones, build those relationships with your friends. Regardless of what's going on with everything, you know, there's a lot going on in America right now with their inauguration, and there's a lot of, you know, differences clashing right now. You guys, don't let someone who doesn't even know your name to come in between somebody you spent a long time and a long life with, okay? I love you all. Stay blessed. This has been Joshua on the Final X Legends podcast, and I'm out. Bye.